None of us can rest our hope on the faith of our ancestors. Today on the Wisdom Journey, we come to a passage where a new generation of Hebrews were taught the importance of obedience, faith, and righteous living.
Well, after years of wandering, the nation Israel has now come back full circle to the region of Kadesh. This was the place where they had earlier refused to enter the land. You remember they followed the report of these 10 spies. They refused, and because of that were led into 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Well, now here in Numbers chapter 20, we're told that the siblings of Moses pass away, Miriam, his sister, verse 1, and then Aaron, his brother, in verse 28. Now follow me here. Over in Numbers chapter 33, we're told that Aaron dies in the 40th year after Israel left Egypt. So as we now arrive at Numbers chapter 20, which records Aaron's death, we know that Israel is nearing the end of their wandering. A new generation of Israelites now are within sight of the promised land. Now, if you're like me, oftentimes you're aware of God's blessing, and you tend to slack off, maybe even drift from where you should be. As hard as it is to believe, that's exactly what happens to the nation Israel here. In Numbers chapter 20 and 21, several events are going to take place, and let me tell you ahead of time, they're going to become a powerful lesson, a teacher of how to keep from drifting away from where we should be in our walk with God today. So let's allow the nation Israel to teach us four very important lessons today. Lesson number one, pride can have painful consequences. We're told here in verse 2, now there was no water for the congregation, and the people quarreled with Moses and said, would that we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? I mean, this new generation sounds a lot like the older generation, following that same old pattern of grumbling. But here in verse 8, the Lord speaks to Moses, take the staff, assemble the congregation, you and Aaron, your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. Now, note carefully what Moses says and what Aaron does when they go before the people here in verse 10. Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and Moses said to them, hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out abundantly. Let me tell you, beloved, Moses defied the word of God. God told him to speak to the rock, and Moses hits it two times. Aaron goes along with it. And you know, the Lord pronounces judgment on both of them here in verse 12, because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. So Israel is going to enter the promised land without Moses and Aaron leading them. Now, this judgment might seem harsh, unless you understand what Moses did here was take credit for something only God could do. Did you notice Moses says, shall we bring water for you out of this rock? There's no we involved here. There's only God. And all Moses had to do was speak to the rock, and God would have provided this miraculous fountain of water. But Moses is stealing glory from God. He's striking this rock, and that implies this is going to be according to his power that water comes forth. This is great pride. He's acting as if he is manufacturing this miracle rather than it being the power of God alone. And the tragic consequence of his pride is this judgment from God. He's not going to lead the people into the promised land. Lesson number two, trust as you follow the Lord's timing. Now, here's a positive lesson we can learn in verse 14. Moses is sending messengers to the king of Edom. He's requesting permission to travel through his territory. And the answer from that king is absolutely not. So with that denial, verse 21 says, Israel turned away from Edom. Now, you might expect Moses to remind Edom that they are the chosen people of God and nobody's going to boss Israel around. But instead of doing that, Moses and the people of God trust the Lord's timing. This, by the way, means a rather long detour around Edom, but they trusted the Lord's timing and took that detour. Lesson number 3, dependence on God should be daily. Now, following the death of Aaron, as chapter 20 comes to a close, chapter 21 opens by telling us the king of Arad, who lived in the Negev, fought against Israel and took some of them captive. Now, what this pagan king doesn't know is that this new generation of Israelites aren't going to ignore this. And the nation cries out to God here in verse 2. If you will indeed give this people into my hand, then I will devote their cities to destruction. And guess what? The Lord heeded the voice of Israel and gave over those Canaanites, and Israel devoted their cities to destruction. Now, this new generation, it isn't without fault, but when facing the enemy, they give themselves fully to the Lord. They trust him. And here in this battle, they followed him. Let me tell you, beloved, the victory is going to become a foretaste of their future conquest of Canaan. Lesson number 4, the object of your faith is what matters. Now, on the heels of this great victory, Israel turns south to go around Edomite territory, but that old Israelite attitude resurfaces again. Look here at verse 4. The people became impatient on the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Well, the Lord responds to their rebellion here in verse 6 by sending poisonous snakes into the camp, and people start dying from the venomous snake bites. Now, to their credit, the nation immediately repents, and they run to Moses and say here in verse 7, "We have sinned. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." It's interesting that instead of removing the snakes, the Lord instructs Moses to make a bronze replica of a snake and put it on a pole and plant it where all the people can see it. Here's why. Verse 9, if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. So here's the cure. Whoever is bitten by a snake needs to believe in the object being lifted up as God's cure. You see, God wanted their deliverance to become a matter of faith. So if a person is bitten by a snake, and they believe God, and they looked at that bronze serpent, he would be healed. Did you know that over in John's gospel, Jesus uses this Old Testament event to illustrate his own death when he's going to be lifted up on a cross? Jesus said this, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Beloved, you and I have been fatally bitten by our sin, our rebellion. And death is certain. It's certain for all of us. In fact, for all of us, death is just around the corner. What's the cure? Look to Jesus, that one who hung on the cross, lifted up, dying for us, the one who took the venom of sin on himself. Believe in him, and you will be saved from everlasting death and judgment, saved to everlasting life and joy in him. This is God's eternal cure. So look to Jesus, trust in Jesus alone, and you will one day live with him forever. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was a much-needed reminder today from Numbers 20 and 21. You're listening to The Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. Stephen calls this lesson, Serpent on a Pole. When Stephen records these Bible lessons for you, we capture that on video. If you'd enjoy watching these lessons instead of listening, you'll find the videos on our website or on our YouTube channel. Use the link in the show notes, and then join us next time.